Well, yeah, Glenn, that was a great introduction. We originally had something planned for today, and John would be sharing, and God's been stirring on my heart a message probably for past 6 months or so, and just wondering what was the right timing for it. And after last week's events in Charlottesville and seeing what's happening on the news and just even conversations with folks, and you go on social media, just there's a lot of tension, a lot of fear, and I love Jesus because, as we were talking earlier, if you focus in on Jesus, there's so much peace. And as we reorient ourselves continually to God's word, we can have a foundation, a structure, a guide that no matter what we're facing, we can be stable and firm. So I want to talk this morning, I believe I have a PowerPoint entitled Breaking the Power of Fear with Love. And as I was thinking about that title, just sensing a lot of fear in this time, and I think there's a great opportunity to be able to break through that with the love of Christ. Amen? Amen? God's more powerful than anything. So it's like, hey, you're in control. You got it. So I want to look at a passage this morning. It's kind of the opening framework. And then I'll be talking about different pieces of just God, people, race, racism, loving each other, caring for each other, making a difference in this world. So I wanted to look at a passage in the New Testament first, which I think is just beautiful. I love the wording on it. But let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It's where we're going to start, and we'll be looking at some other passages today too. But I like this passage a lot. I felt inclined to go there, just the difference that the power of God's love can make, but really the invitation to love one another just as God has loved us. So let's look at 1 John 4, 13 to 18, and we'll have it up here on the screen as well. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is so also, we are in this world. There is no fear in love. This is just a go-to verse for me, but I think for the church and even this country in this season. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that awesome? No fear in love, but perfect love, God's love, we just talked about that, casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has. For he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen cannot love God. getting a little twisted here. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you how in some ways it's really simple. Love others, don't hate people. But God, there's sometimes difficulties, God, we can struggle with, justify reasons why we think certain ways towards people or groups. And God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, God, through your word. God, if we're off a little bit, would we reorient to your word, God, to your command to love. God, I pray that you would receive much love this morning from us, but also your creation, other people would receive great love through us, God, to them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so a lot going on in the news and conversations, and just doing a lot of reading, as I'm sure you guys have been as well. And we get to see from this picture in 1 John just the call to love. And you get the reminder, which I just love sometimes being reminded, yeah, God, you're all about people. People are God's most treasured possession, and he loves each person, including you guys right here. Sometimes we say people, we think of other people, but each one of you, God loves so much. Turn to someone this morning and say, you are valuable. Can you do that? You are valuable. All right, and I hope we're just to start. Just one more, if you can just bear with me. Can you just turn to someone this morning and just say, God loves you? Thanks, Mark. God loves you too. I hope you weren't skipping your spouse or your family when you're doing that, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, God loves you in the back. High five. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know about you, but there's something there, and that's the key. You are incredibly valuable because you are valuable to God. And God loves you. And if we can get that not just in our mind, but really in our heart, I believe that's really the core of this whole message, is to value other people the way that God values them, regardless of color, skin, ethnic origin, age, where they've been born or the difficulties they've gone through, sin addictions, problems, external things, health issues. Just let's keep it simple. I like keeping things simple because it's hard for me to keep memory of lists. People are what God loves. Individuals, no exceptions, all across the world. God loves people. God loves you. Now we see this, it's awesome. I don't think, hopefully anyone would disagree with that, but maybe you're still exploring, but God loves each person. And so we get this call, especially as Christians, we're to love other people the way God has. And as I was looking on the news, it sometimes can get confusing because sometimes people with a Christian title, a religious leader or a pastor who supposedly, you know, is representing Christ's values can say things that are in support of hating people or hurting people or judging people or pushing people to the side. That can be really confusing because if you looked at the news, you'll see that. And my encouragement is, just a little side tangent, always go back to God's word to be able to be grounded. Because sometimes people with a logo or like a sign, hey, I'm a religious leader, they might not be sharing necessarily right from God's word. I love how Paul said to the Bereans in Acts 17:11 that they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they would hear what Paul shared, but then they would go to the word of God to make sure that it was true. So I would encourage you, as you're taking in all this news, make sure you're taking in God's word more than just taking other news. Does that make sense? Because it can really get you off, just off going weird places that aren't honoring to God, and it can really make you feel hopeless if you're like, oh man, Christian pastors are saying we're supposed to segregate or hate these certain people. Let's go back to the word of God for our anchor. Now, the whole idea of race and racism, that isn't a new concept, unfortunately. Not to say you would want it right now, but you can see it in the Bible too. And I was just reading an article, which I really liked, and I'm going to quote part of it from Timothy Keller. He's a pastor in Manhattan. I had a chance to actually hear him preach once several years back in Manhattan at Redeemer Presbyterian. And I had no clue who he was. I walked in. I heard that they had like several hundred college students there and a lot of coffee and really big cookies. So I'm like, why not go, right? Timothy, whoever, whatever. And it was just amazing. He shared the gospel with such simplicity, but yet complexity, like just an excellent teacher. So later on, I found out that he wrote a ton of books. And when I was doing religious studies and stuff, a lot of my books were by Timothy Keller, which I thought was funny. But he was just so relational, so real. I just was very impressed to hear his passion for God and for people. But as I was reading an article recently, I just wanted to share a snippet because he gave a really good overview in the New Testament where you saw some racial friction, some divide. And if you want to go and read more on this in the Bible, you can note the references he put. So I'm just going to quote what he said because I thought he has a really good summary. So this is from Race, the Gospel, and the Moment by Tim Keller, recently published. So you'll see this in the Bible too, and here's a really good summary. So in Acts 17:26, if you want to look this up, feel free to, you can just take the chapter and read the context, but here's one verse. In the midst of an evangelistic lecture to the secular pagan philosophers, Paul makes a case that God created all the races from one man. And some of you might remember this part. Paul's Greek listeners saw other races as barbarian. But against such views of racial superiority, Paul makes the case that all races have the same creator and are of one stock. Since we are all made in God's image, every human life is of infinite and equal value. Do you believe that? Yes. You guys just said that to each other, you're valuable. So I hope you're believing that, but you guys didn't know I was going to lead into this. But infinite value, because an infinite God has placed that. You can check that out in Genesis 9. We'll be looking at some verses there in a moment. When Jonah puts the national interests of Israel ahead of the spiritual good of the racially other pagan city of Nineveh, he is roundly condemned by God in Jonah 4. One main effect of the gospel is to shatter the racial barriers that separate people. You can see that in Galatians and Ephesians as well. When Peter sought to do so, I think I cut off some of my notes on here. Racial barrier, yeah. So is it egregious sin to do anything that supports these barriers? When Peter sought to do so, because even Peter, who's called the rock, you know, struggling in this area, Paul reprimanded him for losing his grasp on the gospel, and you can check that out in Galatians. So if you're interested in studying this more, here's some New Testament, Old Testament examples, which I really appreciate the way Tim Keller put that together. But I want to talk about a couple reminders for us this morning when we're thinking about why are people so important. And I think we can know that on a general level, but why is this so important to God? Because we want that biblical foundation. You want to be able to reorient yourself back to the Bible, especially if you've been taking a lot of what other people are saying or what the news is saying or what the TV is saying. Lord, what are you saying about people and the way I should respond? Yesterday, Crystal and I and our boys, we had a sweet invite from Heidi and Tenny over to your guys' camp in Joe Indian Pond. And Heidi doesn't know this story, but she gave me, we went there together, but then we were leaving. I took a car, had to get back early. So Heidi, you gave me very specific instructions. You're like, go to this road, make a left, go back on 56, and you'll get back, right? And so a typical guy, I'm like, yada, 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 da, 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 da. You just got to make a left and a right, or a right and a left, doesn't really matter. There's like only one road out here anyways. But then remember, Tenny was telling me there's another road you can take, which is really hilly and windy and brings you up into Parrishville. And I was like, huh, yeah, like, it's just left and right or right and left. Doesn't make a difference. And so I didn't really listen to the instructions, so, you know, open confession moment. Thanks, Heidi, she gave me really good instructions, by the way. I did not listen to them. So as I'm, like, going, I'm like, maybe it's a right or a left. I think I made a right. I don't know. But anyways, I'm going down the road. I'm like, this doesn't look off familiar. Like, the road I came on was, like, incredibly well-paved. This is kind of getting a little pothole on it. And then I remember Tenny saying, there's a road you can take that's incredibly hilly and windy. And then I see a sign that says 4 miles of like hills and like windy roads. I was like, ah, I was like, I'm on that road. I'm like, I didn't want to be on this road because I really wanted to go what would have been a faster way for me to get home. And I was just kind of laughing and the Lord just kind of speaking to me. He's like, yeah, you know, it's like you can know maybe some things you think are right, but sometimes we're off. And what I had to do is take my phone, went on a GPS. I'm like, I'm off. I need to get reoriented back to where I wanted to go, which is actually to be on 56. Wave to the Corbett family going over the bridge, honk at, you know, the Reardons and Cole, you know, just do the normal weird stuff that I do. And so I was going to Parrishville, 72, back to 56. But as I was thinking about that, sometimes it's just we think we got it, but we miss it by a little bit. And if you miss it by a little bit and you keep driving down that path, you can end up much farther away than you expected. And sometimes it's like, Lord, we know we're supposed to love people and not hate people. And like, you know, that's not my issue. That's someone else's issue. Sometimes we can be a little bit off. So I just want to put that out there as three reminders. Let the Lord speak to you. Maybe it's not a people group, but maybe there might be a person the Lord's speaking to you. You're not loving them the way I'm loving them. Or maybe there's a group of people that in jokes and sarcasm, it's easier to put down. I remember I was going to a theological conference with a lot of young men and women who were just studying Greek and Hebrew and knowing a lot of things. And I remember I was going to a restroom, I was coming out of a restroom, and a guy who I was with made a really inappropriate joke putting down African-Americans and Mexicans in the same joke. And I was just shocked. I mean, I know all of us can sin and do stuff. I was just shocked. I was just like, wait, aren't we should go in here to like learn how to love people better and like study the word of God, right, and share that with others? I'm like, and at first I took it personally, because my great-grandmother, she's African-American, and my grandmother's half black, half white. My roommate was from Mexico. I was, like, very personal, so I'm like, maybe I'm overthinking this. But then as I look back at the Bible, God cares for each person. Those people in that joke that was just mentioned, God cares for the African-Americans. God cares for those from Mexico. Who am I, even in a joke or sarcasm, to be putting down what we just agreed on God calls as infinitely valuable, right? You with me? It can be easy. Sometimes it's small. Like, you know, I don't think you would publicly get up, this guy I was talking about, preach a message against a certain people group, but sometimes it can seep out. And if in jokes and put downs or conversations or things we let go in the workplace or for those going back to school, sometimes we can hear stuff and we just kind of like, kind of chuckle with them or, yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's like, wait, Lord, those are people that are infinitely valuable in your sight. You died on the cross for that man and that woman, that child. Oh, Lord. Let me value the things you value. Let me love the things you love. So just a couple reminders this morning. Three reminders. So we're going to look at the foundation for why we want to care for people the way God does, especially in this day, I think we have a wonderful opportunity to shine brightly the hope of Jesus. Amen? Amen. This is not a time for the church to push back. And I think Bill Clark said a couple of weeks ago, huddle and cuddle and just kind of do life here. I think it's an opportunity. Let's go shine brightly like stars in the universe. Let's love one another in a radical way. Let's speak for those who don't have a voice. Let's care for orphans and widows the way Jesus did. But let's go to the foundation. We're going to look at that we're image bearers. This will be a review. We just covered it. Then there's a command, and then there's a completion. So kind of a beginning, an end plan, and then something in the middle. So here we go. So the foundation, we just covered this a little bit. Just want to make sure we're really clear on this together. The biblical reason for why people are incredibly valuable no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing. Jesus even said you should be praying for your enemies. Why? Because those are people that are infinitely valuable in God's sight. They're doing very wrong things and hurting lots of people. If you're praying, or maybe you haven't thought to pray for those in North Korea, great time to start praying for those in North Korea, right? If you read the news, God cares about each person there. Lord, would they be responsive to your Holy Spirit? Would they have a Jonah-like moment where a whole city like Nineveh would repent and want to move on? Would their leadership know the love of Jesus and share that instead of hatred? So let's look at some foundational pieces, image bearers. So then God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man our image after our likeness. And you see that in Genesis 9:5-6. You see that a little expanded more. Whoever sheds the blood of man, so given more of a context of killing someone, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. This is talking about humanity. We are of infinite value to God. So I hope, one, you're encouraged. You're incredibly valuable to God. God created you. God loves you. I love how it says in Psalm 139 that God knit you together in your mother's womb. If you ever wonder why are Christians like so pro-life, like they want everyone to live and people to have water and sustain, or why do they care about children outside of the womb and inside of the womb? It's because biblically, if you look at a biblical basis, you see that God is intricately weaving and woving and putting together a child in the mother's womb. You might remember John the Baptist leap for joy in his mother's womb when the Holy Spirit came upon him. You know, just what God can do. So just a little piece there, but yeah, God loves people because he's created them. He is the creator. So this is the foundation. This is the start and the beginning of the book of the Bible, the start of the world and creation. So before we get to the completion of it, we have this command. And like I said, some of this is a reminder, but sometimes we need to reorient ourselves, not to something new, but maybe just something true that we forgot. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, this is Jesus, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and the prophets. Other times, religious leaders would come to Jesus and they would want to qualify, who is my neighbor? Right? Try to figure out which group fits into the neighbor. Which one is comfortable? Is it the group that we're all alike? Is it the group that maybe is doing something different? And Jesus would never give a limitation to who the neighbor was. He wouldn't say there's exceptions to the neighbor, that if you come up with a better idea and realize some people group somewhere, it's not. No. Jesus is like, love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no exception list to neighbors. Those are other people around you that God's put in your path. So we see that God puts infinite value into us because we're image bearers. He designed us. Super cool. We also see that we're called to love one another. Jesus came and died on a cross motivated by love to take your sins and my sins on the cross. And he's at the right hand of Father interceding for us, is what the Bible says. We got the victory in Jesus. He says he's coming back someday. I'm really, really excited. Looking forward to that. Maybe that's today, tomorrow, 1,000 years. I don't know. But God's coming back. But until he comes back or we go to him, the command is still love one another, right? So if you're looking like, what? I need something simple. Here we go. Love God every day, morning. Lord, I just want to love you. Fill me with your love. God, help me love everyone I come in contact with today. Lord, help me put things on Facebook, texting, phone calls, emails, Lord, that just really just show I value people the way you value them. I love people the way you. Even those things can sometimes be really small. Those small things can speak volumes. I remember I did my master's degree online, and you guys supported me to do that, which I appreciate at Liberty University. And I remember one professor would write this little phrase at the bottom of his emails, because it was online correspondence. And you would just say, and at the bottom of an email, you have this little thing, it's just like, "You are loved." And then he would sign his name. And for whatever reason, the season I was in, every time I got those emails, I would just be filled with joy. Like, sometimes I'd almost want to cry, because it's just like, I don't even know this guy. It's this professor. But the way he would write his emails and stuff, and I'm sure he had hundreds of students, just like, "Jim, you are loved." Like, this is the reminder. And it was a small thing. But I would encourage you, maybe there's small things we could do too, that he never knew that I was having that kind of a response to his emails. But I was just like, "Wow, Lord, thank you for that small thing." He was valuing me. Instead of being just a student on a spreadsheet, he valued me as a person, and he spoke God's love to me. Small, but yet profound in my life. We also can participate. So we're image bearers of Christ. We're called to love. But I want to focus on, and if you look at news, Christian articles on what's going on right now, a lot of them will focus on these verses. But I was thinking, sometimes it's nice to have a goal, like, where are we headed? We get to see that, in the beginning, God created everything, called to love in a broken world, but we're called to love through God's love. But I love the completion. I love the vision we get in heaven in Revelation 7, 9 to 12. So here's a picture that John's getting of what heaven will look like. So just another awesome, I think, reminder. Focusing on Jesus and focus on the game plan. Here we go. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." I'm just going to read that again. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number." It's going to be big, right? "From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice." You guys getting this picture at all? I don't know if you're visual, but this looks awesome to me. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Can we get an amen to that? Amen, right? But you get this picture, right? All tribes and all peoples and all languages. This is the end game, right? So who are we to be on this planet and decide who's not going to be part of God's end game, right? I was just thinking about that. Like, this is what's going to be in heaven. Like, "Lord, would your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? Yeah, so this is the end game. So if you're thinking like, maybe I'm not totally like against the group, but or maybe you totally are, and I encourage you to seek just God's love for your heart. But to get this picture, all tribes, all people, all languages, it's going to be united around one person, Jesus, but it's going to be beautifully diverse, which is going to be so cool. So I'm excited for this. I hope this gets you excited. "Lord, I want to let every person I meet know that they are valued and know that they are loved." Whether that's with words or actions or both, ask the Holy Spirit. He can give you some practical things. So here's just, as I'm wrapping up, as we're pushing out, I encourage you just, this isn't a time to, I think, go into a refuge mode, but really a time to push out and share God's love in some powerful ways. I love this reminder that Paul gave to the young pastor, Timothy. Timothy was taking over and leading a church in Ephesus, and he had a sometimes difficult congregation. Things were going a little bit challenging. He had some stomach health problems, and so Paul's encouraging this young guy with these words from 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Would you guys mind reading this with me together? Is that okay? Hope so. Okay, let's take it from the top. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I know that was for Timothy, but I really believe that's for us today, church. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. We can break the power of fear with God's love, the Holy Spirit power in us. He's given us power, the ability to do it. He's given us love, his love, and able to do whatever God's calling us to do. And he's given us self-control. Sometimes it says a sound mind. He's given us the ability to accomplish what he's doing. So I would encourage you, if you're in a place you're just like, "I just want to hunker down at work or around family or conversations or with friends or at school," I would encourage you, just receive this promise from the Lord. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if you're running around with all these fear thoughts or whatever, that's not from the Lord. I remember one time in life, I was finding myself, I really needed to get some help with some things. I was going to a really good counselor in the area, a Christian counselor, and I was dealing with some fear issues. And she's like, what are you afraid of? Like, what's the fear thing? Can you name it? What's the boogeyman in your head? And we took some real list on stuff. And there's something powerful actually disarming to fear when you actually start listing off what you're afraid of. Just put it down on a journal. Maybe that's a practice maybe some of us should do today or tomorrow. Maybe just listing out, what am I afraid of? What are the things I'm really fearful of? And then go with that list to the presence of God. And man, God will be greater than every single fear. Even if your fear is death itself, well, we got a God who's conquered death itself. Amen? There's nothing to fear in Christ. I was at a conference last week with Scott, one of the other pastors here in Rochester, and the whole focus, God was so good, whoever the people that orchestrated it, but a lot of the focus was on injustice issues, dealing with human trafficking. There's more people enslaved now around the world than there ever has been. I think it's over like 40 million with human trafficking. There's a lot of focus on there. People that are made in the image of God, who God loves, who are in places, and I don't really want to go into details because, you know, there's children here, but just in places of being forced into things by other people who God made and love. And talking about lawyers who's been going out, Christian lawyers who want to make a difference and set children free from slavery and bondage, and as well as adults. There's a huge focus on racial just issues in our country and around the world, and it was right before, I believe, or right at the same time, Charlottesville, everything was going on down there. I was just, Lord, the way you're bringing this together, this call out to about eventually 400,000 plus leaders around the world to move out in a way that represents God's values and God's love. But one of the guys I was speaking, he's the president of International Justice Mission, IGM, and he was speaking about how he'll go around to different countries and want to see people freed up from corrupt systems, children set free. And he was talking about some of his lawyers who were in Nigeria who were dealing with some corrupt political systems, and they were actually killed for trying to bring justice to people who were persecuted. And so I just remember this one phrase that he went over there grieving. They had a Christian service, and his heart was broken. He flew over to there. These are all national Christian lawyers in Nigeria, and three of them had been killed by those that they were trying to bring to justice. And as he went over there, they were praying, and God met them there. And I remember he was sharing to the leaders, to us who were listening, and I believe for us this morning, he's like, I had the option to close down IGM. And he's like, and most people would have said that's an okay thing to do. It's getting too dangerous. The darkness is evil in the world. Just shut it down. Go back to your corporate job. Go work at the UN. Just do what might be easier. And everyone would probably just give him a light clap. But then he looked at the gospel and he's just like, that's not an option for me. That's not an option just to pull back and hide away. He's like, we're going to move and in force, in power, and in love to bring right the injustice in this world. And so I remember he looked right at the camera, and he was mentioning how God just really ministered to those who were grieving in Nigeria. But through that even more lawyers, Christian lawyers, came and rallied behind these lawyers, that they were actually growing. And he looked right at the camera, and he's like, you can literally kill us. He's like, and we will grow by 20%. He's like, we will not stop. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's exactly what happened in the early church. Persecution. Nero was killing people. Really bad system. And the church was blossoming. It was actually exploding. The persecuted church was actually moving even faster through. And I believe at this time, not to say that we're at these kind of places in this country with that kind of physical persecution, but my challenge is, let's step out, church. Let's get outside of the walls. Let's get into the places of our sphere of influence, as Glenn was saying, and let's love people the way Jesus loves people. Amen? Let's not sink back, but let's push forward, because we already have the victory in Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So I just want to wrap up with a couple prayer just thoughts and as we're closing, and I just want to invite the musicians to come. They'll be leading us in a song before our benediction. After the benediction, we'll have prayer teams up here. If there's anything stirring on your heart that you like prayer for, maybe for you or for others, maybe your heart's just been wrecked this past week, and you're like, I just love prayer for myself and for others that are hurting. We invite you. That'll be after the benediction. But a couple of thoughts. The first is a personal one. As we close in prayer before the music, I would encourage you to invite the Lord to search your hearts. Is there pride, anger, hate, unforgiveness towards maybe a person that the Lord keeps bringing up to mind, just keeps coming up, or maybe a people group? Each person is valuable. One person, Jesus gave a story about leaving a bunch of sheep, 99 to be exact, to go after one sheep that was lost. And so maybe there's one person, and you're like, there's really just one person that I really have a lot of anger and hate towards. And Lord, would you free me from that? God, I ask for forgiveness. Could I extend that? Could I apologize? Or maybe there's a people group. Maybe you notice that there's a group of people that you speak poorly about that you don't think, they're okay, but they're probably second. They're probably not on the same level playing field. Maybe invite the Lord, God, ask for forgiveness. Give me your perspective. Help me to know that each person is infinitely valuable. Help me, God, to love the way you do. So I encourage you, personal invitation. I'd also encourage you ways to be praying for those who are hurting, whether it's in Charlottesville, other places around the world, refugees, those who are in human trafficking. What's on your heart? To pray for those who are hurting, which I think is easier than the next one. But I would encourage you also to pray for those who are hurting others. Pray for those you know who maybe are calling a cry to hate or anger or to war, to devastation or to trafficking or to just abuse. Pray for those. Jesus said to pray for those that persecute you or those that hurt you and bless those. And I know that's a hard one, but once you get the alignment that, God, you care about each person on this planet, you love them. God, you love me because I know I screwed up. I know I've messed up and you love me too. Help me, God, to have your perspective and love. I just want to close in prayer before we sing this song and then the benediction. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you love us. God, I thank you that you love everyone on this planet. God, I thank you how you created them in their mother's womb, which is so cool. And God, I do pray if any of us are struggling with just unforgiveness or hatred towards a person or a group, God, that we could let that go. And if you're struggling this morning, just invite the Lord. Lord, I surrender. I ask for forgiveness. Give me a new perspective, a new love. God, we lift up those in Charlottesville, God. Those who have lost a loved one, those who are injured, God, those who are emotionally just impacted. God, we also realize that there's a lot of things that go around the world that are not on the news. In other countries, God, refugees, 80,000 in a refugee camp. People that will never get the spotlight in the news, Lord, but you care about, and they're in need. God, we lift up those who are hurting locally, in our county, our community, our nation, this world. God, we pray for those who are hurting, those who think that they are better in pride than coming with humility. God, we pray for just softened hearts to Jesus. God, we pray for those in this world who just really want to seek harm in their own agenda. They're not your agenda, God, it's their own agenda. God, I pray that they would have softened heart. I pray that you would bless them and that they would know the love of Jesus. God, I pray for some of the most militant people who are against other people and you, Lord, could come to know Jesus Christ, Lord. If you did it for the Apostle Paul, Lord, we believe you can do it for them. Maybe some of the people we see in the news might be the biggest proponents of the gospel versus those who've been killing people because they love the gospel. Lord, I just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear. God, fill us with your love, your power, sound mind. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And help us, God, not to go out in some radical way and try to fight fire with fire, but God, that we would break through fear with your love, God. And God, it could be a ripple effect. That we'd be more concerned about what you think, God, than what our coworkers think, or our classmates think, or what people think on social media. God, that we'd be more concerned about representing you and your love than what people think, Lord, because you care for those people. So God, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. God, I pray that we'd be encouraged, we'd be refreshed, we would have the hope and joy of the Lord. And God, as we just move into the time of just worshiping you, Lord, this isn't all about us, God. It's all about giving you glory and honor and praise. And God, we look forward to doing that in heaven. But God, until we get there, let us give you the most praise we can on this planet, because you're worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.